let me ask you some of the kind of, because we're nearly done, some of the kind of off-piste questions just about your ethical positions. The right to die? Do you believe in the right to die as you choose? Do you believe in euthanasia?
To be honest, Stephen, I don't know. It's something that I've given some consideration to, but not enough. You're not hear politicians saying they don't know very often. It's something that
I hear politicians dodging an answer, well, so don't know where they stand.
Well, I think it's an honest position to say that it's a very, very difficult and challenging issue for many of us. And I honestly haven't thought about it anywhere near enough. And I will give it consideration, but right now I think it's a big leap. But it's something that I think we should all consider. The answer is I don't know. I think that's an honest position.
Pensioners, do you think they should be given free bus passes
yes.
and free TV licences, even if they are very wealthy?
I do believe in the universality of those kinds of benefits. I think it is a good thing. I think it has been a very positive development that pensioners have been able to travel around Northern Ireland for free. I think that's a positive thing. People have committed their whole lives, have worked their whole lives to making this society better and making it work, especially here through very difficult times. I think it's important that they have the right to access free services by the time they retire. Now, some people can choose not to access those free services if they can afford them, but I think it's important that as a principle that they're entitled to them.
This is scattergun questioning at the end. Are you religious? Are you a person of deep faith?
I'm somebody who is brought up in the Catholic faith. I call myself a Catholic.
Do you go to church every Sunday?
I go as many times as I can. I'm honestly a struggling Catholic, like many people are. But
why?
I do have.
Why?
Well, I think over the last number of years, we've all been challenged in our, not in our faith, but maybe in some of the actions of the church. I'm very, very fond of this new Pope. I think he is reaching out and he is setting a new agenda for the church. But I would be lying and saying that I'm somebody who's at Mass every day. I'm somebody who always tends to go back to the church. It's where I was brought up.
How often?
I went to school at St. Columb's College and everything else, and I have that connection.
So how often in the last year have you been to church?
Oh, I've been lots of times.
What's lots of times?
I don't know. I couldn't count. But lots of times.
Right.
Lots of times.
More than half the
probably
year?
Probably twice a month.
Okay.
And I probably should go more, but like everybody else, I have my own difficulties and struggles with religion. I think that's a normal
mean?
Place to be. Well, I think the church has at times in the recent past acted very badly. They haven't been able to handle some of the issues that they have been faced with, and I think that's been a mistake. I don't think that should rock all of our individual faith. It doesn't touch my faith, but I think it just challenges a bit around the church. You know, I haven't left, and I don't intend to. I think it's important in life to have that level of faith.
You're a family man.
I am.
Kids?
Yes, we've one 8-month-old who has been sleeping very well, but last night didn't sleep too well at all. So she's great. Rosa.
Who changes the nappies?
We both change the nappies. When I'm there, I tend to do more. But I'm not there enough, and that is one thing about politics. And I know politicians get a lot of stick, but politics for me is a vocation, and my wife Rachel understands that very well. And I hope my daughter will come to understand it. When I'm there, I'm very much there. I do everything.
It's gonna be tough though, isn't it? New baby, leader of a party.
Yeah. You know, there's
absent father is too disrespectful
is.
For me.
I think it's too far
to talk about. But I'm guessing you're not there very much if you're running a party.
I'm not there as much as I'd like to be. But as I say, when I'm there, I'm very much hands on. But you know, lots of people. Look, I came up this morning from Derry. It took me 2 hours 15 minutes to get through the traffic. There's lots of people doing that every day with small families, and I think. People have to struggle on. I'm very lucky to have a job, a very good job, a well-paying job. Far too many of our people have to leave to get that kind of a job. And, you know, I'm very happy that I'm in the position that I'm in. My wife knows what I'm doing and understands it and supports it. I think my daughter will hopefully grow up to think that by the time this is all over that I'll have made some difference. And that's what politics is about for me.
Do you think there'll be a United Ireland in your daughter's lifetime?
I think there'll be a United Ireland in my lifetime.
Do you?
I do.
Within how many years?
I don't know. I remember Gerry Adams made the mistake of saying it'd be 2016, and that was just silly. I don't believe that we should try and wave flags at each other. I don't believe that we should try and force anybody down a road. The Good Friday Agreement means that I have to convince people now. And I don't think nationalism has been very good at that. I don't think we've done our work. We've done our homework. We've done our groundwork for achieving United Ireland. But I still think it's the biggest and best idea out there. If it's one that's grounded in reconciliation and partnership.
Sorry, why?
Because why would you have two parts of a small island disunited? We're connected culturally, we're connected politically, we're connected through our history. I think it's a very positive thing.
I think they should be saying the same to the Scots, wouldn't they?
They might well be, but I think the Scots might end up saying something different back to them. I think the opportunities for...
Not the last referendum, they didn't.
No, they didn't. I think they eventually will. I think the opportunities for ensuring... And our United Ireland might be slightly different from other people's. I want to see, for example, an assembly in Belfast.
You want to see what?
An assembly remaining in Belfast. I think we need to have honest conversations about the Commonwealth. We need to ensure that people who feel British in Ireland can still feel British but can feel Irish at the same time.
But you failed to sell the idea of United Ireland to unionists, haven't
we? We have, because we had 40 years of people bombing them and killing them. And the idea that that was ever going to bring us any closer to United Ireland was absolute madness. The biggest failure of the last 40-odd years has been the Provisional IRA and their campaign to try, and their only real aim was to bring about a United Ireland. I think they've made it further away, because a United Ireland for me is about people. It's about uniting people, and the territory comes.
But when there was a ceasefire
that.
In the 90s, it came no closer to Northern Ireland Protestants signing up United Ireland.
Because we had years, decades of people being killed on our streets for that aim. That's not something that I could ever have supported. It's something that I think was completely futile, never mind being morally wrong. So we have actually set back the prospect of United Ireland because of that violence. I think we can change that now. We now have a democratic opportunity. I am of a different generation. I would like to see other parties moving in that way. I have less baggage. I want to begin to reach across to unionism to try and convince them. One thing I did say to Mike Nesbitt, and he agreed, I want to make Northern Ireland work. So does he. He wants to keep it in,
so
keep Northern Ireland within the... Well, we'll see about that. He wants to keep...
Oh, really?
He wants to keep Northern Ireland within
so
the...
So Mikey Boy's your new mate, is
no,
he?
No, you asked me a question earlier about the conversations we had, and I just remembered that he told me he wants to make Northern Ireland work.
So you're saying you doubt whether Sinn Féin want to make Northern Ireland work?
I think...
Are you serious?
I think their views tend to be around the idea that... they've never said they want to make Northern Ireland work, by the way, but I think their views tend to be that we can somehow eventually magically fall into United Ireland.
Not
I don't
too far
think
away
that's
from
right.
Your view.
No, my view is that we work towards it. My view is that we make Northern Ireland work. My view is that we get away from the idea that Northern Ireland is a failed political entity. It has to work. Things have changed massively in the last 100 years. You know, we're not running about the Mansion House dressed up as soldiers.
But if it
we
works,
want to
why would anyone
about,
want the United Ireland? If because, Northern Ireland's prosperous and working... Why wouldn't people want to keep the status quo?
Well, when you think about it, Stephen, an economic basket case isn't attractive for anybody in the South to want to join, or anybody in Britain to want to leave. I think a positive vision for making this place work fits very well with the fastest growing economy in Europe,
the
as
Irish,
the South is now.
The Irish government told me on Nolan Live that they couldn't afford Northern Ireland.
Well, that's an interesting position for the Irish government to
it's what they said.
I'm not so sure it's an official government position.
Did you not hear it?
We're not looking. I missed that show, Stephen. I was actually in Dublin
that
night.
That's what happens when you miss a show.
I was actually in Dublin talking to the Taoiseach.
You missed the big news when you miss a show.
but look, people think that we need to make this place work. I think we need to make this place work. I want to make this place work and create a United Ireland in the long term. We're not going to create it tomorrow or the next day. It has to be one that people can buy into and people can vote for. That's what we all signed up for in the Good Friday Agreement. And by the way, lots of people are coming to the SDLP now. Lots of people are joining us. In fact, I'll give you an exclusive. The former deputy leader of NI21, Johnny McCarthy, is joining the SDLP today because he believes that our party is now in the right place to bring Northern Ireland forward and to try and change the face of this place. People are joining us. I think it's a positive thing for politics. I couldn't put a figure on it, but there's...
For goodness sake, what politician doesn't walk in here saying people are joining us?
Well,
you're
going
to tell me you've met people in the doorstep next to you.
I'm not going to tell you that because everybody tells it. I'm just telling you the truth. I've given you one very good example, well, of somebody who was
joining you. If you don't know the numbers,
well, I do.
Well,
it's a lot more than that.
Well, how do you know if you don't know the numbers?
Well, I don't have them off the top of my head.
I should have
expected you were going to ask me that. But what I do know is the deputy leader of another political party, the former deputy leader, is joining the SDLP. I think that's a very positive thing for our party. It's something that shows people that we're changing, and I expect other people to be doing the same very soon.
Thanks for coming in, Colm.
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. That's Colm Eastwood, the new leader of the SDLP.